There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archive for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
2-3.
From studios on the campus of the University of Common Sense in the Big Easy, the professor of thinkology and a man dedicated to truth and common sense. America, class is in session right here, right now, with your host, Jim Brown.
Hey, welcome to our weekend show. We're sure glad you're joining us. We're in the second hour of our program, talking a lot. Also, remembering Hurricane Katrina 10 years ago this week is when the storm hit. We'll talk a lot about that on our show next week. You know, we also spend time talking about the criminal justice system. You would think as society progresses, it would be easier to fight crime, to determine who the bad guys are. And often so many things slip through the cracks, judicial improprieties, prosecutorial misconduct. New book out that highlights some of these very issues by Professor Adam Benferrato. He's Associate Professor of Law at Drexel University up in Philadelphia. And his new book out right now is called Unfair, The New Science of Criminal Injustice. You can find it on my website at www.jimbrownusa.com. Professor Benferrato, glad you joined us today on the Common Sense Show.
It's a pleasure.
Let's jump right into this. There's so, you know, it's almost so many things seem to slip through the cracks, and you have so many instances down in my home down here in Louisiana, huge headlines today about prosecutors lying, putting their spin on the evidence, people being railroaded in so many cases down this way. You would think in this day and time with DNA and more technology and the way we record and photograph that it would be even easier to determine who committed the crime, but there's still a lot of gaps in the system, isn't there?
There really are, and a lot of them have been exposed through the tools that you mentioned, DNA evidence. We didn't have it for decades and centuries, and once we started to go back and test our samples starting in the 1980s, we started to find out that we actually got things wrong quite a lot. The best estimate right now is that, you know, one out of 25 people on death row may actually be innocent, and it's staggering. I mean, we've now had hundreds of people who have been cleared through DNA evidence. And so I really wrote this book to try to find out why that happens, and not just why we have wrongful convictions, but also why we have incidents of police brutality, why we have certain people stopped by the police, other people not stopped by the police, why certain individuals are more believable than other individuals when they're on the stand. And so to expose this hidden world of these factors that shape the behavior of detectives and judges and jurors, I look to psychology and neuroscience for the answers. And what's really neat is that we're starting to understand so much more about why bad things happen in our criminal justice system. And it's often for reasons that are outside of the scope of what we've been concerned about for the entirety of our legal system.
The problem I think that you see, and that as an attorney and someone who's dealt with federal and state prosecutors a great deal, is that there's in this day and time, crime rates are up. Murder rates are up in most major cities in the country. There's been a reaction to what happened in Ferguson with the all Black Lives Matter issue. And so there's some skepticism in the public about the fact that, well, if the police get out of line, they're kind of helping us. I know some people that I would consider fairly liberal in their approaches, saying, look, bring back stop and frisk like we had in New York. We were so much safer there. So often it's hard to reach that balance of going ahead and being sure that someone gets a fair trial, but how you deal with the efforts to get to that point of the arrest. It seems like it's a lot more complicated today than maybe in the past.
It is, and I think I offer a really different vision than what's being offered on either sort of the conservative shows or on the liberal shows when it comes to, say, incidents in which, say, you know, young African-American men are shot at the hands of the police. You know, if you flip on a conservative channel, I think oftentimes you're told that, well, you know, most all police officers, racism is gone. It's no longer a problem in police departments. And this is just the actions of, you know, a few rogue bad apples. I think if you turn on a liberal channel, you're told, you know, police departments are filled with bigotry. There are lots of police officers out there who hate black people. You know, in writing this book, I met with police officers. I went on ride-alongs. I met with administrators. And one of the things I will tell you is being a police officer is an incredibly, incredibly difficult job. And most of the police officers out there are very dedicated, I think, to serving the public. Where problems arise, I think, is when people have to make very quick decisions. And what do people do in any situation when they're under a lot of pressure? It's a life or death situation. Well, they rely on sort of automatic knowledge structures. Some of those happen to be stereotypes. And one of the things that I think we're all exposed to in the United States are damaging stereotypes that link blackness and the concept of crime or violence. And so in research studies, looking specifically at what's referred to as shooter bias, we know that people are more likely to see ambiguous things in the hands of suspects as weapons when it's a black person, more likely to see that as a cell phone or a wallet when it's a white person. And so this doesn't the reason that we have, I think, many of these incidents involving young black men being shot unarmed is not that there are lots of police officers out there looking to for open season on African Americans. I think it's well-intentioned people who have to make very quick decisions under pressure and who see something that isn't there. They see a gun when it happens to just be a cell phone. They feel threatened by a young black man in a way that they aren't when it's a young white man or a young woman.
And when you have not just seconds to respond defensively to protect yourself, but maybe milliseconds, an instant, where you see something flashing, and so I can see, and I don't consider that a bias, quite frankly. I mean, I'll tell you, New Orleans has generally been the murder capital of the world. I've got all my friends tell me they're walking down the street and they see primarily African Americans. They say it would be white too, but they see a young black male with a hood on his head, or particularly two black males on the other side of the street at night, they look for a place to go hide. Now, that's the stereotype you're talking about. But on the other hand, but is, you know, is that a, how do you deal with a stereotype like that? I'm not going to put you in the spot, Professor.
Yeah.
But if you and your wife were walking, if you're walking down the street after dinner and it's kind of dark, it's 11 o'clock at night with you and your wife having dinner, you're walking back to your car and you see two African American 23-year-old males with hoodies on walking over the street looking your way, what's going to be your response?
So I will tell you, I've been teaching and writing about this stuff for a while, and even myself, I know that I carry biases and I have to work on them. The thing that, you know, I have since reading more about this research on implicit social cognition, working with psychologists in this area, the thing that I challenge myself is whenever I'm alone on a street and there's a man walking towards me, be careful. Oftentimes I walk to the other side of the street no matter what, regardless of the color of the person's skin. And I think the important thing to remember, you know, when I go around the country giving lectures, I often hear, well, you know, African American people are more of a threat. They're more likely to commit crimes. I think there's a lot of research to contest that notion, but even assume that that's true, I think that a strategy of just avoiding young African American men is not one that's going to make you safe. In the same way, a young woman might say, well, are you more likely to be raped by a man or a woman? Well, the evidence shows you're far, far more likely to to be raped by a man. So does that mean that
Professor,
you
should always
walk?
Can I stop you right there just a sec? We've got to take a quick break. This is fascinating. I want to continue the discussion with Professor Adam Benferrato. A great new book called Unfair, The New Science of Criminal Justice on my website at www.jimbrownusa.com. Freshen up your coffee, and we'll come back and talk about this really important subject that affects us all.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Are you a homeowner? Is your basement or crawl space damp and musty? Is your indoor air stagnant and stale? So listen up. This is the occasion contractor, Michael King. I've been telling you for a while now, I got the solution. That's right, Easy Breathe Ventilation. Easy Breathe dramatically improves your indoor air by replacing contaminated air with fresh air. Easy Breathe also removes damaging moisture from your home, basement, or crawl space, reducing the chance for toxic mold to grow. Easy Breathe is the affordable way to protect your home and your health. You see, the best part, it only costs us pennies a day to operate. Unlike a costly dehumidifier, maintenance-free,
and a 10-year warranty. A 10-year warranty!
This is a no-brainer. Start protecting your home and your health right now. Call the professionals at Easy Breathe, easybreathe.com, 1-866-822-7328. That's 866-822-7328. Easybreathe.com. Let Easy Breathe exhale so you can inhale.
You are an individual with your own thoughts, decisions, and actions. So why should you be penalized for not enrolling in the subpar health insurance mandated by the government? Be truly independent. Visit LibertyOnCall.org. LibertyOnCall.org is a bold, innovative alternative allowing you to take back control and make your own decisions about your health care. Mention this ad when you call to learn more. 800-714-6993. That's 800-714-6993. LibertyOnCall.org. Call today.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
All of us want to stay healthy, particularly as we grow older. I work out and try to watch what I eat, but you need more. You need a vitamin supplement to give you that extra energy and to help keep your weight down. My solution? I use Youngevity vitamins and minerals to keep me in good health. They're easy to take, and the power drinks, for me, really taste good. Hey, give them a try. Go to my website at jimbrownhealth.com. That's jimbrownhealth.com. You'll be glad you did.
Okay, honey, I have to ask, and be honest here. Have you been taking a little blue pill? Because things have been pretty good in the bedroom lately.
No, I swear.
You didn't pick anything up at the Pharmacia last month in Cancun?
No.
Well, something's different.
I have been taking that heart and body extract you bought me.
But that's for your heart and to control your cholesterol.
Well, I read HB extract also promotes healthy prostate function.
I never guessed it would work this well, but
you're glad it did.
Oh, yeah.
Heart and body extract is a 100% organic formula that promotes a strong heart, healthy arterial flow, better circulation, improves erectile and prostate gland function, and provides youthful energy, strength, and stamina. Find out more at heartandbodyextract.com. Heart and Body Extract paired with healthy heart choices is a winning combination. Call toll-free to order or for free information. 1-866-295-5305. 1-866-295-5305.
Now a twice as nice twin kit special offer from Complete H2O Minerals for all GCN listeners. Get a Complete H2O Minerals twin kit with 33 different minerals, vitamins, and amino acids all in a liquid form. Enough for two people for 1 month. Regular price $89.95, but now Complete H2O Minerals is offering the twin kit for $69.95. And all GCN listeners receive a bonus 16-ounce bottle of ionic silver absolutely free with free shipping. A $120 total value. Hurry, limited time offer. Call 803-794-4767 or click CompleteH2OMinerals.com.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
justice system today, the hidden unfairness of our legal system in some instances, and a new book out that I found fascinating called Unfair, The New Science of Criminal Injustice, written by law professor Adam Benferrato. Professor Benferrato is with us here right now. Before we took that break, I was going to ask you about plea bargaining. I know that you raised some questions about the fairness of plea bargaining. I think I've seen figures that 90% of all convictions what takes place in the court system is done through plea bargaining. Tell us your thoughts on plea bargaining when criminals are accused of a crime.
So you're exactly right. So 9 out of 10 people in our correctional system have taken a plea. And what that means is that the defendant admits he's guilt, and so no one ever has to come forward with any proof that the defendant is actually responsible. No jurors ever consider the evidence, and it means that the trial process is really completely short-circuited, and that's worrisome to me. So one of the cases I talk about in the book involves this guy, 20-year-old James Akoa, and he was presented with a choice. He'd been accused of a carjacking. Two victims came forward and said, yep, that's the assailant. And he had two choices. He could plead guilty to the charge and spend 2 years in prison, or he could try his luck at trial with the potential sentence of 25 years to life. Now, he decided to take the plea, and he ended up spending 16 months in prison before he was exonerated. It turned out he was completely innocent, during which time he was stabbed in prison. And I asked my law students, I teach criminal law, I asked them, if you had this choice where you knew there were a couple of victims who were going to come forward and say that you did it, and you knew you were innocent, what would you do? And what's scary to me is a good number of my law students said, even if I was innocent, I would take the plea because the chance of going to trial and facing 25 years to life, I know that I could do 2 years in prison. I'm not sure I could do 25 years to life. And what's particularly scary is not only that law students are willing to admit their guilt when they're actually innocent, but in actual experiments where they've looked at, college students given a choice, admit that you knowingly cheated on a logic test, even though you're innocent, avoid a trial before the academic review board, give up payment, or proceed to a trial, which may result in much harsher consequences. In that experiment, half of innocent participants falsely admitted to cheating. And so I think that that's a choice that we really shouldn't be giving anyone. I think it results in wrongful convictions, and we'd really be better off ensuring that all individuals are given their constitutional rights to a trial.
What do you think about the prosecutorial system? We're seeing in the papers so often, it seems more and more recently, of information showing that the accused is innocent, that it could help the accused case being hidden by prosecutors. And down here my way, we've had a number of people down here serving on death row for 14, 15 years, and then finally evidence came forward that the prosecutors knew all along that there was some the guy didn't do it. But prosecutors are never held to any high standard. They lie, they cover up. And we're talking about, as you said, a small number. But those that do, should there be some more penalty? Should they lose their law license? Should they go to jail for sending any person to jail when they know this information? We just don't seem to ever see prosecutors sanctioned in the criminal justice system.
We don't, and I actually take a similar view of prosecutors as I do to police officers. I think most prosecutors actually have very good intentions, and I look at the reasons why people commit acts of dishonesty. And if you look at the psychology, it's not for the reasons that we think. We think that people actually are often engaging in dishonesty, in this case, say, not turning over evidence, exonerating evidence to someone who's on death row. We think that they do it out of greed or hatred or something like that. And my research suggests that the reason that prosecutors often engage in misconduct is actually to try to help other people, not themselves. And so if you step into a prosecutor's shoes, there's a lot of different interested parties that you're trying to protect. And you may think, well, I could turn over this lab test, which suggests that the defendant isn't a match for this particular blood sample. But that doesn't prove that he didn't do it. In fact, that'll just confuse the jury, and I know that this guy did it. After all, we have eyewitnesses. There's other evidence to suggest that this is the guilty party. And if I turn over this evidence and the person goes free, why? I'll be letting down the victim. I'll be letting down the victim's family. I'll be endangering the public. I'll be hurting all those police officers who worked the case. I'll be letting them down. That's just a waste of time. It's letting down the taxpayers who paid for all of this work. And suddenly you can start to see how a seemingly minor violation of ethics can start to seem justified. And once you've made one step across the line, it's easier to take that second step. And I think that's what's happened in the Orleans Parish and other areas around the country. And that's one of the reasons that I really think that if we're going to cut down on prosecutorial misconduct, the best thing to do is to change what we tell prosecutors their job is. I think we need to tell them it's not just gaining convictions. It's ensuring that all guilty people are given their just desserts, but it's also making sure that all innocent people are found innocent, that those individuals never end up in prison. And what's really neat is that certain jurisdictions are already going some way towards accomplishing that. Dallas County, for example, has set up a prosecutorial integrity unit that actually its whole job is to look for mistakes that prosecutors have made. I think that's a change that ought to be adopted around the country.
I sure agree with you. Well, in the short time we have left, then, give me, if you will, a few key ideas to fix the current state of the judicial system in our country today. Give us a couple of short-term and a couple of long-term suggestions.
Sure. So I think the really big one is that we need to adopt an evidence-based approach. We have evidence-based medicine, right? We no longer just rely on intuitions and anecdotes of doctors. We actually test things out. We look what medicines actually work, what procedures are actually effective. I think we need to do the same thing with law. And on a practical level, on a small level, I think that means changing our eyewitness identification procedures. One little thing we could do is ensure that the person administering that lineup doesn't know who the suspect is, because research suggests that when you know who the suspect is, you can subtly sway a witness without even knowing that you're doing it. There's a lot of little things that we can do for police officers, for detectives, for judges and jurors to ensure a more accurate system.
Okay, well, as I say, fascinating book. I sure enjoyed it, Professor. It's called Unfair, The New Science of Criminal Injustice. I'd like to have you back some more. I've got 50 more questions to ask you, so we'll let you enjoy your summer. And here in the fall, we'll call you back. Professor Adam Benferrado, take care. Sure glad you joined us today.
Thanks so much. Enjoyed it.
His book, by the way, is on our website at jimbrownusa.com. I read it, and I agree with most of the conclusions he has there in the book. Hey, Jim Brown here in the Common Sense Show. My website, www.jimbrownusa.com. I want to come back and talk about all this huge debt in colleges. Should the federal government just come bail all these kids out and the families out and you and I pay for it as taxpayers? We'll talk about it right after this message.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, you know they'll never stop coming after you. With bank levies, wage garnishments, they'll even seize your home or business. The good news? A government program for tax debt forgiveness. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative.
I'm Paul Sibley with U.S. Tax Shield. We can help navigate the new laws, get you protected, and resolve your tax issues permanently.
Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield now for your free consultation and get a guaranteed quote to resolve your case. Call 800-436-6451. That's 800-436-6451.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine.
But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Everyone says or does something silly once in a while, but once that embarrassing thing is on the internet, it can spread like a terrible rash. Put it to rest. Get a free expert analysis today from Reputation.com. It only takes 30 seconds. 800-831-0771. We protect your online image by helping to make sure that when people search for you or your business, they find the most current, accurate information possible. Reputation.com. Because word travels fast. Call for a free analysis today. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it, so decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
Okay, open your mouth and say, aw.
When your child has a sore throat, you need to know when to get help. The doctor-recommended Say-Aw Sore Throat Exam is your solution. The scientifically designed oral retractor offers a clear view of the throat, relaxing the tongue and minimizing gag reflex. Compare with a medical-grade chart, website, and app. Then you'll know just what to tell your doctor. A wellness plan in your hands in minutes. Go to SayAhNow.com. SayAhNow.com, the new mainstay for every family's first aid kit.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
I don't know if you're aware of the fact that some 7 million Americans have gone for over a year without making payments on their federal student loans. We have federal loan programs, and I understand why they're necessary to get our kids through college. You want to get them a good college education, but you got to pay it back. I mean, a deal is a deal, right? And despite the fact that the economy is doing better, interest rates are down, still an awful lot of people, millions and millions of graduates, do not pay back their loans. And so we're talking about $1.2 trillion. What do we do about this? And is this okay? Should we just suck it up and let the taxpayers pay? And how do you responsibly finance your kids' education? That's some things we want to talk about. Jean Burke is joining me. She's an educational finance expert. Got a great book called College Prep Genius, which is on my website at jimbrownusa.com. She's joining us today on our program to talk about these various issues. Hey, Jean. Welcome to the Common Sense Show. Hey, Gene, we got you there?
Hey, I'm here.
Okay, good, good. Didn't want to lose you there now. So, Gene, did you hear what I was saying to my listeners just a few minutes ago about the huge...
No, I didn't hear it at all.
Well, no problem. I was talking about $1.2 trillion debt, the fact that 7 million Americans right now have gone at least a year without making payment on their federal student loans. We've got a real crisis in not paying the bills. The economy's down. Interest rates are down. The economy's up. Interest rates are down. Trying to get a handle on all this thing, just what we do about it. What's your thoughts on student loans? Should the taxpayers of this country just suck up $1.2 trillion and pay off all these loans? Or is there a responsibility on the part of these families and kids to meet the obligations they made when they borrowed all this money?
You know, Jim, absolutely, taxpayers should not be stuck with one more bill. And, you know, the thing is, if you look more into some of these programs that have been presented, you know, we've got situations where it doesn't even talk about the controlling the cost of the college or, you know, anytime you start adding some federal subsidies in there. But the problem is you start making, you know, college available, for lack of a better word, available to everyone, although it already is right now. But you start telling everyone, hey, everybody can go to college for free. What you're going to do now is throw in a lot of kids in there that aren't even college-bound students. And I've been teaching kids how to get free college for 11 years, but not everybody is going to go to college. And we already have a low dropout rate right now. About 30% of all kids who enter college are going to graduate. So then you start throwing everybody in there, and it's going to even increase even more than that.
Well, yeah, you find that with the dropout rate where a lot of kids say, well, I'm not going to stay there for 4 years, or at least I'm not going to take all those heavy courses. I'll take the minimum, join a fraternity, have a good time, and then, you know, we'll go back and see what we're going to do with my life. But that's fine as long as I'm not paying for it or you're not paying for it. The taxpayers are not paying for it. That's my concern. And as you just pointed out, there are lots of options available out there, Gene. You know, if you can't afford a four-year residential college, you've got community colleges, you've got other options, you've got the internet courses you can take. You've got some other options, don't you?
Oh, you do. And I think you've got to take some responsibility here. You've got, you know, these kids need to be, you know, independent, and if they're going to take on the load, they need to be able to either ultimately pay the debt. Hopefully not. There's so many ways to not pay debt, go to college for free. But if you're going to take it on, we need to start teaching our kids that, you know, this entitlement attitude has got to go. You know, this is not a right for you. This is a privilege to live in this country and to be able to go to this school. And you can't go to school. But, you know, don't give us the bill. Because think about it. Even if these kids were to drop out, there's still going to be a bill. And still somebody's going to have to pay for it. So I think we need to do a preemptive strike. And that's saying, hey, listen, there are so many ways right now you can reduce your cost of college or go to college for free. And I think sometimes these kids in high school need to be taking maybe some AP courses or some dual credit just to even see if they can handle the workload. You know, a lot of these kids will breeze through high school, get to college, and not realize that you've got, you know, 4 or 5 hours of homework per class per day, and ultimately they're not, you know, they're going to drop out. So I think there needs to be some testing beforehand just to see even if you can even make it in college.
Well, don't we do that with the ACT test? Don't we do some testing? You've got to have a minimum just to get in college to begin with. Is that going on in most states?
It is, and that's what I do. I teach kids on how to ace the SAT. You know, a lot of kids bomb it, even really smart ones, because really they're logic tests. They're not about your IQ, and you know, they're testing your critical thinking skills, which is a good indicator of, you know, how well you're going to do in college, because you do need to be able to think in college. So those are great. And I love teaching kids on how to ace the test and answer every question in 30 seconds or less. But I think besides that, I think that kids really need to take on some more rigorous courses in high school to be able to see if it's something that they can actually handle on a full-time basis when they're in high school. I mean, when they get to college, because I think you're right. A lot of kids take on the college is like the 13th year, you know, and they want to continue high school on, and it's almost a slap in the face when they realize that that's not really what college is all about.
Well, so I see your point. I think you're making a good point of a responsible parent's going to say, listen, we might struggle and borrow money and get a student loan to help our son or daughter get through school, but we better be sure that they can make it, because we're going to get stuck with these loans, and if we're not careful, we can dig ourselves a heck of a hole and be in debt for years to come. So what you're saying is there is college prep that someone like you do in terms of testing and laying out a program. When should a parent contact someone like yourself, Gene? Like a year in advance, or when do you start making the preparations?
You know, I actually teach a lot of 6th and 7th graders. You know, they've got time on their side. You know, but if your kids are already in high school, I mean, it's not too late. I think so many times a lot of the guidance counselors at some of these schools, and I have a lot of friends who are counselors, you know, they're so overwhelmed and so much on their plate that they don't have the opportunity or the time to help the kids. And oftentimes they'll tell them to wait till the end of the junior year, even into the senior year, which is really pretty late. But if we can start our kids early, at the minimum in ninth grade, start thinking about test prep and about, you know, college classes and things like that, it will go a long way. It'll take a lot of stress off those kids. But the sooner you start, the more time you have to improve. So parents need to put it on their radar. Even if they don't think it's on their radar, they need to put it on their radar. It's going to make a huge difference in the end.
Yeah, and some real long-range planning. I've got four grandchildren. Not only their parents set up a college fund, some of them are very young. I've got a new grandson that's 3 months old. And in each of the cases, I've set up a little college fund where my wife and I will add a little something every year, and then they do that too in anticipation of some very dramatic costs coming up in the months to come. And then getting together with someone like you and start doing the prep work in advance. You do a little planning. You can help your child succeed and also save yourself some money, right?
Oh, absolutely. I've got an e-book called 15 Secrets to Free College that your listeners can get absolutely free if they go to my website, which is collegeprepgenius.com. And when they go to the click on 15 Secrets, go to the checkout and put the code RADIO, and you can get that for free. But in this e-book, I talk about, you know, how you can actually find 72 colleges that will actually give your child free college based on income. And even some of these schools consider $100,000 low income. I mean, there's a really cool thing called grading scale tuition, where let's say your child is planning on going to Harvard, you don't have to pay more than 10% just to go to Harvard. So if you make $120,000, you know, you pay about $12,000, which is cheaper than junior college. It also talks about there are colleges that will cap their loans at $5,000, and even a program that you can eat your way to free college, which is pretty cool. So,
no doubt about it. Well,
yeah.
And I want to tell my listeners, you can get Jean's all those information about her website on my website, simply jimbrownusa.com. Hey, Jean, got to go. Thanks for the information. We'll put the book on our website. The book's already on our website, and we'll look forward to talking to you again here in the fall about how you can save money on our kids going to college. Take care and have a nice weekend.
Thanks, Jim.
Bye-bye. Interesting lady, and some interesting planning you need to do if you want. But boy, college has got so expensive. You want to be sure your kid is profiled right to go to college, and how you pay for it takes a lot of planning in advance. Hey, Jim Brown here on the Common Sense Show. Going to come on back and talk a little bit more about Hurricane Katrina right after this message.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Everyone says or does something silly once in a while, but once that embarrassing thing is on the internet, it can spread like a terrible rash. Put it to rest. Get a free expert analysis today from Reputation.com. It only takes 30 seconds. 800-831-0771. We protect your online image by helping to make sure that when people search for you or your business, they find the most current, accurate information possible. Reputation.com. Because word travels fast. Call for a free analysis today. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
We've been patiently waiting. Waiting while you tried to ignore us. Waiting while you acted like we didn't exist. Waiting for our chance to be taken seriously. The wait is over. GCN is available 24/7 at GCNlive.com. Navigate through news from your favorite host and download archives of past shows. Download the app on your smartphone or tab or visit GCNlive.com for instant access and live streaming. GCNlive.com, the future of talk radio. Now at your fingertips.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. On Placing a Silver Dollar in a Book Explains Our Monetary System. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com.
The nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
I wanted to look back, as I did at the first segment of our program today, to the 10th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. There have been disasters all over this country, and many of you listeners suffer your own situation. Wildfires going out to our listeners out west are really disturbing. My daughter is staying inside, lives out there in Hood River, Oregon, and right on the Washington-Oregon line, and says the smoke is just unbreathable. Doesn't want her kids to get out there and breathe the smoke. It's not unbreathable, but it's not healthy at all. So you're going through real problems out there. We had the flooding and tornadoes. And, of course, Katrina was a monster storm that caused 25-foot water surges all along the coast in Mississippi. And then, of course, as I said earlier on the show, didn't do that much damage to New Orleans initially. New Orleans is where the focus of Katrina is. That's where the president's going to be going down to this week. That's where former President Bush will come down to commemorate the terrible event that took place. But as I told my listeners earlier, what happened was the winds about Hurricane One level certainly did some damage. Trees were knocked down. There were shingles knocked off roofs. There was damage. But nothing of any of the magnitude that happened along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. Those folks were just plummeted. And just their homes wiped off the foundation completely. So Hurricane Katrina hit on a Sunday night. On Monday morning, a lot of people started heading back to their homes. Everything was okay. We've got to do some cleaning up, maybe some broken windows, a few things like that. But we're going to go back and make it back. And then the reports came in of water in the streets and water rising. The levees had broken in several locations. And millions of gallons of water was fuming into the city, raising water levels in the streets 1, 2, 3 feet, and people really started to panic. Many waded out, found something to make a boat, floated out, did everything they could to get away, because as I told my listeners earlier, the greater New Orleans area is in a bowl. It's a fishbowl. And you can, the levees protect you. You're below sea level. If you're down the French Quarter on Bourbon Street and look over towards the Mississippi River, you'll see ships that are 8-10 feet in the air that are crossing in front of you. And you say, how are they so high? Well, the river's that high. And the river without the levees would swamp into a good part of New Orleans. And that's exactly what's happened once the levees broke. And it didn't happen in emergency. It wasn't like the storm winds itself. Hour after hour, the waters kept rising, and people were desperate. They called 911. The police department, their families were in desperate need, just like the general population was in desperate need. So many of them initially went back to protect their own families and weren't on call, weren't available. And the federal response was so slow in taking place. I know the president, George Bush, flew into, I believe, somewhere in New Orleans, or maybe it was Baton Rouge, met for some time with the governor at the time, Kathleen Blanco. President wanted her to sign a response to take over the whole disaster relief area. She was reluctant to do so. There was a give and take. Here's my thoughts on that 10 years looking back. First of all, the governor should have allowed the turn it over to the president and the federal government. We need your help. It's way beyond us. Let them have it. Sign that declaration in a New York second, number one. Number two, when she didn't, can you believe, would you picture Franklin Delano Roosevelt or John Kennedy or Dwight Eisenhower, Ronald Reagan, saying, well, we got to wait for that paper to be signed before we can start moving in the massive federal help? Hogwash. They'd have done it themselves. They would have ignored the governor and gone right in, which is what they should have done. I said before that in the lower end, below New Orleans, there were members of the Canadian Mounted Police that made it down to help before there was any federal troops in there to lend help. And so the whole effort stagnated as people, and you know what happened? Water came up and people went into the house and tried to put sandbags, and then the water started seeping in the first floor, and they went up to the second floor. And then when the water came up to the second floor, they got up into the attic. And then the water started coming up into the attic. And I just can tell you that dispatchers told me the terrible stories of mothers saying, I've got my baby in my arms up above my head and the water's up to my chest. Please come get me. And then the phone line went silent. You know what they do now? To get a loan, it's often required to get a loan down along the Gulf Coast that you put a flood door on top of your house. You used to have that back in the 30s, where there would be a latch door that you could put open, push open, and get up on your roof. And that is required with a number of loans down on the Gulf Coast now, and for good reason. So you can get up on your roof and wave, and helicopters start rescuing people that got up on their roof. Boats could see them. They could, even at night, they'd shine a flashlight. And then the marvelous thing took place. The Cajun Navy went into force. You know, Acadiana is called Cajun country, and all these folks are sportsmen, men and women. They fish a good bit. They've all got these bass boats. And so they started coming to the New Orleans area by not the hundreds, by several thousand, rescuing people off roofs. Initially, the state police and the National Guard says, no, that's going to be too much chaos. You can't go in. They wouldn't let them get in the boat launch. But finally said, this is ridiculous. We're not getting any federal help. Let's get on in there and get these people off their roofs. And so there were hundreds and hundreds of boats operating all over the New Orleans area, taking people off the rooftops, getting them to some type of safety. And, again, I wish I had the time to tell you so many stories. I had, I believe, 33 people that stayed in my home in Baton Rouge for several weeks. Some stayed for a month. They had no place else to go. I know people were knocking on the door at all hours of the night saying, look, we don't want to inconvenience you, but any suggestion where we can go? We'd either find friends or neighbors or say, come on in and let's make you a pallet in the floor and make do, and then we'll eventually try to work something out for you. And so all these situations took place that affected so many people in that part of the country. I went to a fight. I'm a big fight fan. They had a fight in Baton Rouge about 3 weeks before Katrina. A young police officer was there. He was a dispatcher in the police department. And a very nice guy. We hit it off in a nice talk. Well, I heard after the storm that he was in the dispatcher's office trying to take these calls of desperate people that wanted some help, begging for help. And he told his superior, look, I'm worried. My wife is home and she's by herself and I've got to go out and check on her. He said, no, you can't. We can't let you go. People are calling in from all over. We've got to have you here as a dispatcher. And this was early evening. Then late in the evening, he asked again. And finally, the next morning, after pleading and asking his superior on several occasions, please let me go check on my wife. I promise I'll come right back once I see she's safe. He went and made it home. I think he found a boat and made it home. When he got to his house, his wife had drowned there at the house. And then I heard the terrible tragedy that he left and didn't go back. They couldn't find him, went up to the levee, took a gun, and committed suicide. So, terrible stories about. And look, in tragedies all over America, you listeners up in Fairbanks, Alaska, you folks in Atlantic City, you folks in Moultrie, Georgia, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, you know yourself about the storm and BP. And we've all gone through catastrophes like this. Hopefully, it's a learning experience to where we figure out what we would do in the case of an emergency, how we would evacuate, what we would take with us. Are you prepared for something like that? Folks in New Orleans and the Mississippi Gulf Coast, by and large, are prepared. When they hear a storm is coming in, they're going to do a lot more preparation in terms of supplies and food and the basics to protect them if they've got to evacuate or if it catches them off guard. And I think that preparedness is such a key element in terms of what you may do. By the way, we had that insurance segment. I want to say this. I meant to mention that on the insurance segment we had earlier. You know what you should do about once a year? Take it. If you don't have a video camera, your phone will use. Most people have a camera on their phone. Take your phone or get a video camera, borrow one from a neighbor, and go around your house and video everything in your home. Video the kitchen and what's up in the kitchen cabinets. Video your closets to show you how many shirts you have. What if you had to fill out an insurance form? You lost all your shirts and your socks and your underwear. You got a list of all that stuff? You ought to do that with a video camera. The condition of your furniture, outdoors, the patio furniture, everything like that. In case the worst happened, you see, you've documented your claim. You see, you got it all laid out there. So go ahead and do that. And that just makes good sense for the protection you'll need for something like this terrible tragedy that would happen in the future. And hope we never see anything like Katrina again or any tragedy of that magnitude affecting any of our listeners. Hey, we're out of time. I'm sure glad you joined me today. We'll be back same time, same station here at this same time next year, or the next week. My website's www.jimbrownusa.com. Have some fun. See who our guests were today and check over my site for my weekly column. I'll write one about Katrina this week. Have a good week. Take care. Talk to you soon.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
This is the old Cajun contractor Michael King here, host of Home Talk USA. Did you know that you can now shop and purchase online quality name brand tools and accessories at discounted prices from one of the top most visited online hardware stores, The Handy City? That's right. You can now take the hassle of having to go out and purchase these products. Just think, you can now order all of the top name brands from the comfort of your home computer and have it delivered straight to you in most cases. And the shipping is free. All the products are personally endorsed by me and guaranteed 100% by the manufacturer by using our online store. You'll be also helping to keep our popular home improvement radio show on the air. So please check out our website today at TheHandyCity.com. That's TheHandyCity.com. I'll say it again, TheHandyCity.com. Quality products at discount prices straight to you. I have only one thing I can say. Ça c'est le bon temps relay. Let the good times roll. Yai!
Ouch! My back is out again!
Hi, Dr. Ortman with Wellspring Spinal Care. If you're experiencing neck, mid, or lower back pain, this information is for you. One of the complaints that I hear is patients receive their typical adjustment, only having to repeat them as the pain returns. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the battle. At Wellspring Spinal Care, we have the entire solution. We use the NUCA approach, utilizing three-dimensional x-rays and gentle touch technology to deliver specific correction. We then design
design a custom nutritional supplement program which provides essential nutrients targeting the areas of concern. With a NUCA approach and proper nutrition, you'll be on your way to a faster and more permanent recovery. To get you on the road to wellness, visit drortman.com. That's drortman.com. Or call us today, 952-303-9124. That's 952-303-9124. Wellspring Spinal Care, chiropractic done right.